We need to be retooled, resharpened. We've become too nice in our Pentecostalism. We've become too nice in our Spirit-filledism. We've learnt to play the game, but God wants to sharpen it. And He wants to make it so sharp and so effective that when it's used, it doesn't take half an hour or an hour or hours to conjure up something. It's just like, whoa, straight in, dealing with every situation. Start praying. Ho. I speak refreshing where the battle has been long, where the battle has been hard. You've been waving that heavy sword. You've been welding that out. I speak refreshing in the Spirit. Oh, some battle-weary warriors in this place. I speak refreshing. Oh, oh, refreshing. Oh, oh, wow, far out, man, come on, whoa, shoo, oh, oh, hey, hey, don't go, I was going to grab you, that's all right, oh, ha, shaha. No more fear. Come on. Mm. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on. Ho. Just like that wind's blowing on you right now, coming in through that door. You know, wind's only ever good for a sailor if they open up their sails. And the Holy Spirit, it is Ruah, it is wind. Open your sails and get blown by His winds. It becomes a lot easier. You ain't gonna make nothing happen. You just gotta open up your sails, and His wind will pick up your sails and He'll take you. He'll guide you. Oh, become inquisitive. I pray for a spirit of inquisitiveness, that you become doggedly inquisitive. Oh, come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, sha. Come on. Oh. Hey. No, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Just release, release, release. You're all right. yeah. Come on. Sharpen, sharpen. Refresh, refresh. Whoa. Come on. Whoa. And we speak to that fire. Let it rage. Oh, rage. Oh, rage for the things of God, Lord. Fill them with hunger. Hunger for the things of you. Oh, I just see stacks and stacks of books of the old school saints. The Wigglesworths. Oh, the Wesleys. Come on. Oh, even the Salvation Army dude. Even, oh man, John G. Lake and all those guys. And he's wanting to feed your spirit. He's wanting to feed you because he's called you to such a ministry where you need to know certain aspects, certain keys to unlock the supernatural in every situation. Bro, I just feel that. I hope that you can receive that with fire. Oh, yeah. Come on. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, fire. Resharpen, resharpen. Oh, come on. Your word, oh Lord, is like a two-edged sword. It's sharp and it's quick to put asunder. Oh, Lord God, I pray for a sharpening instead. Father God, that when he speaks, oh, hell trembles. Oh, when he speaks, all the demons listen and quiver. Because he does not speak with his own voice. He speaks with the voice of the one who created every good thing. He speaks with the voice of heaven. Heaven. Thank you for the testimony. Lord.
Thank you
for the testimony. That's better. Oh. When I look across all of you guys here today, I see you as brothers and sisters, co-laborers. We're all the same because we have the same spirit. Whoa. Man. Come on, let's go change this nation. Believe that inside of us is such power. I'm a nuclear reactor. I should have some type of yellow sign on me. I'm dangerous. So should you. You're dangerous if you have Christ inside. You are dangerous. The devil would love to shut your mouth. Fear and intimidation. But we are spirit filled. We are a little crazy. We are a little wild. We are a little out there. We are a little different. And that's all right to me. And it should be all right to you. We must not let the culture squash what God has deposited in us. Because it sets people free. Okay. Man, that was neat. I'm excited. I'm excited for this next session. As Jeff shares, no doubt it's going to be powerful. I'm excited for tonight. Who's invited someone to come along? Yeah, come on, that's awesome. I want to challenge you guys because tonight, I mean, this thing's just building. You can just feel it. I love these things. I tell all the speakers, just go with the Holy Ghost. Come on, bring that up. Go with the Holy Ghost. When Ryan Hart Bonnke was here and Daniel Kalinda, they said, how long have I got? And I said, as long as it takes for the Holy Spirit to show up and mess people up. Because I don't believe in time. Time's good and we got to keep time sometimes. But we can't. This is not a conference where we're going to go, okay, well, sorry, hong, you're over. If God's moving, God's moving. I'm expecting tonight great things. I'm expecting right now as Jeff comes up, great things. Come on, let's give Jeff a round of applause. Thank you, my friend.
Praise God. Hallelujah. What a privilege just to be able to share here this afternoon, amen. Isn't God good? Come on. You know, God's got keys. There's no door that God can't open. Do you know that? He said, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth is what? Bound in heaven. Whatsoever I loose on earth is what? Loosed in heaven. The key is in your tongue. It's in your mouth. Do you know that in Romans 10 it said this? In order to be saved, first of all you had to believe in your heart and then what? Confess with your mouth. Every key to the kingdom is found in your confession. Matthew 12, I think it's 38, it says, do you not know that you will give an account for every idle word you speak? By your words you'll either be justified or condemned. Most of us as Christians move right over that one. Because if we were really to be accountable for every word, we'd be in big trouble. But God's not saying that because he's wanting to try and bring condemnation. He's wanting to give you a key that will open up heaven over your lives. He says you are a spiritual, reborn, new creature. Amen in Christ? Your words are life and they're death. Your words open heaven or they close heaven. Your words create an atmosphere for miracles or they shut heaven down. Your words create an opportunity for either the testimony of Jesus to be revealed and people to get saved, or they shut the door. So many Christians, I reckon if somebody could take a tape recording of them talking during the day, and they realize how much unbelief they spoke, how many words of discouragement, and how many words of anxiety, and how many words of sickness and pain and disease. But God says this, he says, son, he says, if you will learn how to guide this tongue of yours towards the words of God, he says, I will back you up, I will back you up. And I learned this a long time ago. I realized that as I began to open my mouth in the morning, as I get out of bed, Dennis is saying, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says very simply, ask. He says, the key to everything in the kingdom of God is ask, seek, knock. There's no other key. God says, I'm looking for a people who will have a mouth that's open, that will begin to seek me with all their heart and begin to speak the word of God. What we want is some practical tips here this morning, this afternoon, and how to release the call, release the kingdom, release the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you and get it out. And the Bible says this, that the key is to open your mouth. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus first and foremost to preach. And yet the tongue of the church has been cut out in so many places. Most Christians don't share their faith. They don't know how to speak. But God said, you are called. Bible says, who is he that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah. All the way through the world's saying to you, you can't. It says, you're limited. You're limited by the outside. You're limited by your circumstances. You're limited by your knowledge, your understanding. But God is saying, with me, nothing is impossible. And somewhere in the midst of all of this, you've got to come to that place where you grab a hold of the key. Grab a hold of the choice that's in you and begin to speak. When you speak over your life, the promise of God, amen? As you begin to trouble, I get up. Dennis is saying, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? I grab a hold of the word of God, because Jesus has called me to follow him, amen? Is that what he's told you to do? Follow after me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. So I follow after Jesus. Jesus' first thing he did was he walked into the temple, opened the scriptures, found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he began to speak it out. So as a young Christian, I picked up Isaiah 61. I'd get up in the morning and I'd moan that Jesus Christ is in me. That's my anointing. That's my call. That's the work of God in me. So I'd start trumpeting over my day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I'd do it real quietly, just like that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'd say it again because I didn't believe it the first time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. And what I notice is as I start doing that, I tell you, you start doing it two or three times, you'll find something breaks in the atmosphere over you. Because all of heaven is waiting to back up that word. All of heaven's waiting to back up that word. Whereas we've got a whole lot of people waiting for a word in their ear. Whereas the word of God has already been given. It's alive. It's active. It's the promise of God. Amen. And it comes to pass when you speak it. And as I learned to speak the word out, all of a sudden I watched. See, the word's the rudder of my life. It starts turning me. As I get up in the morning, owning and anointing, I'm a soul winner. Do you know that? Have you get up in the morning and say, God, souls are mine in Jesus' name. God, you've given me the kingdom. Once you start asking, the Bible says you'll receive. When I was planting church, in the times when I'd get up and cry out for souls, they'd walk in off the road. Sometimes at our prayer meeting, hey, Diane? We'd have people come into the prayer meeting just off the road. They'd walk in. And when I go through a time of fasting, people are driving off the road and just didn't know why they were there, and we'd lead them to Christ. But I learned how to speak. I learned how to frame my world with the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3 says this, by faith that we understand that the world is framed by words. Say that with me. By faith, we understand that the world is framed by words. Your world, your future, your destiny is being framed right now by the words you're speaking. If you're speaking, I'm hoping, there's not much destiny in that. If you're believing today and picking it up and saying, I am anointed, the moment you pick up the anointing, just as Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah, the moment he picked it up, it was no good to him, absolutely no good to him, until he walked to that river Jordan and he looked at that river that was flowing in front of him and he believed God that he picked it up and then he slapped the water and he said, in the name of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, open! And the waters opened. Every principle of God from the very beginning to the end was built in the word in your mouth. Because the scripture in Romans 10 actually comes from the Old Testament. It's not a New Testament scripture. It says, here is the word of faith that we speak as the righteous of God. Don't go into heaven and call God down from heaven. Don't try and raise him up from the dead. But the word of faith that you need is in your mouth. And I've learned to do this from the very beginning. I get up in the morning, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And if you walk around my house, you think, gosh, the guy's a raving lunatic. I don't care because I know heaven's going, yes, that's my boy. Yes, that's my boy. Hallelujah. And all I know is when I step out in that sort of anointing, God turns up. Unusual miracles start to happen. But I just want to walk you back to the beginning of learning how to release your faith. Dennis did a wonderful message this morning about maybes, amen? Maybes where all the promises are found, in the maybe. Maybe God. Maybe God's out there. I remember as a new Christian, I had this desire, and I know you have too. I wanted to be part of God's work in the end time to bring in a harvest. Anybody else feel it? You know why that is? Because that's the destiny of God on every single Christian. You know, sometimes we try and put it on the evangelist, but it's the work of the evangelist is who? The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit the same one that raised Jesus from the dead? Is he in you as much as he's in me? Come on. You cut away those excuses that say you can't. The same Holy Spirit that was winning the lost through Peter is inside of you now. You just got to give him place to operate through your life. Amen. So you've got to understand every principle of God is you've got to believe it and you've got to receive it. And the way you receive it is you pick it up in your heart and you speak it out with your mouth. When I was planting church, I just started calling these people in. Father, give me souls. I shut myself in my secret place. Why is that? Because I know that God sees what I do in secret and he what? Rewards me openly. And I'd wander around my prayer room for hours. God, give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls. God, I want souls. Father, I need a breakthrough for our city. I need a breakthrough for my town. And I'd just wander around for hours. And at the end of that time, I'd just step out into the world. And God would bring people to me. He'd open up favor. He'd start giving me people. They'd listen to me. Other people would try and talk to them, and they wouldn't listen. But they'd listen to me. And then unusual miracles would start happening. And it started getting me excited. And I'd find that if I mixed my tongues, because I didn't always have all the right words, but I knew how to pray in tongues. You see, God made it simple, eh? He says, I'll give you my name. Key to heaven, hallelujah. And I give you my anointing. And here, because you don't know how to pray, you Gentiles, you don't even know anything about prayer, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. He's going to pray for you. And you're not going to understand a word he says. But if you'll submit and allow him to flow through you as a river, he says, I'll bring the miraculous. And on the days when I go out into my job, just praying in tongues as I'm going to work, the devil's going in my ear sometimes, God, you're talking gibberish. But all I know is when I walk into the houses and I start seeing the miracles happen, when I pray for people and they get healed, and then the days that I don't pray in tongues and the days that I don't declare over my situation, over my life, that Jesus is Lord, that he's opening doors, that he's given me favor, I don't see the same miracles happening. But if I want to give you one key today to open up destiny over your life, it's to begin to bring the word off that page, out of your heart and into your mouth. Begin to write the vision, it says in Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision, make it plain so that you can run with it. You've got to know that Habakkuk 2:2 says that. He says, listen, if you're going to run a race, you're going to know that the moment you start running, soon you get tired. Have you seen those long-distance runners? Start off all and they're, you know, running like crazy and about, you know, 40 minutes through the race, they're looking exhausted. If they don't have a vision in their mind, they just stop. But they've been trained. They've trained themselves to push through that place, amen? And I know that they're speaking to themselves as they go, come on, I can do it. We can do it. Well, I tell you what, you can't do it, but God in us can do it, amen? And you and I have got to believe for that. When I couldn't speak, when I couldn't share because I was so bound with the fear of man, this desire in me was still to reach this nation with the message of Jesus Christ. And I determined if I can't speak, I can write. Because I found in Matthew 10:32 or 4 or somewhere there, it says this. It says, if I'm ashamed of God before man, he's ashamed before of me, before his Father and his holy angels. I thought, whoa, that's heavy. That convicted me. God, I can't speak. I don't know how to talk. How do I do this? And he challenged me to write my testimony. So I wrote my testimony. I started writing it and struggled with it because I wasn't a writer either. I was a dairy farmer, a shearing contractor, a fencer, a practical guy. I wasn't a writer. I left school because I wasn't good at that stuff. But I knew that I could write and I wanted to write. So I said to God, I'm going to do it. And then I didn't. And everything on my farm started going downhill and it was really quite bad. And the elder came and said, Jeff, you said you were going to put your testimony in the paper. And I said, I know, but I was struggling with writing. He said, well, look, you write it out and I'll type it. So I wrote it out, typed it out and sent it into the local newspaper. Disappeared. But the farm, everything on the farm started, whoop, turned up and started going well again. Didn't hear anything of my testimony. I thought, oh, what was that all about? Obviously, it was just to speak to the editor in the paper. I thought, well, that's good. I did what I was told. I've been obedient and that's cool. About 3 months later, at the end of the dairy season in Tokoroa, the last thing a dairy farmer's looking for is the announcement for their final payout. What am I going to get for the year? And on that particular day, the paper comes out with this thing, top dairy payout on one side of the page, and right next to it, it says, dairy farmer finds Jesus after tough rural life. And my testimony was planted right next to the greatest testimony the dairy farmers were looking for. That little seed of my obedience, you know what? I had people ringing up, people got saved, people got excited. See, Dennis was talking about 1 Samuel 14 before about Jonathan stepping up to the mark, amen? You see, what he didn't share is when he stepped up to the mark and he began to battle with those Philistines, it actually caused the earth to shake, it says. Very earth shook. When I stepped up as a little weak Christian who couldn't talk, who'd wrestled like crazy to get something on paper, and I gave it to the paper, it very well shook the foundations. It brought people out of darkness. They started standing up for Jesus. They started sharing with their neighbours. Can you all write? Anybody that hasn't got two arms, please put your arms up. Don hasn't at the back there, no. That's cool. Because I tell you, all of us can write. And the written word, I've written my testimony. When I went to Plant Church in Tiara, wrote a testimony booklet. I put it into every house in town. They called me a religious nut. But as I started leading people to Christ, they all said they'd read it. They were challenged by it. They were convicted by it. I got people coming into church who said, look, it was months ago I read that thing. One of the guys down the road, he'd sworn at me and told me never listen to anything I had to say about Jesus. But he got one of these in the mailbox. One day as I was coming to church, he ran out to meet me and said, that's the best thing I've ever read. He said, after I read that thing, he said, I went across the road to the Catholic Church and I gave my life to Christ. I thought that was so funny. It was so funny. God has just got a way of trying to break through. He just wants to take the little bit you've got and use it. If you give him a loaf and a couple of fishes, he'll feed 5,000. Are you in a hard place right now? I'll tell you what, Jesus brings water out of rocks, so come on, rejoice, hallelujah. There's no hard place that God can't bring life out of, amen. In Psalm 84, verse 6, it says, blessed is the man who's on a journey, hallelujah, who turns the valley of Baca into a place of rejoicing. And over 23 years, I've learnt something. Nothing's ever boring to me anymore, because I learned a key. I get a key to choose whether I'm bored or not. When I started every morning prayer meetings at the church where I was, first thing the pastor told me was, you're never going to get me to come. He said, don't expect me to be down there at 6 o'clock in the morning to pray. I said, I didn't. I said, this is my walk with God. I said, I'm choosing to press in for the anointing. And I said, that's cool. So God gave me two little ladies that met me every morning. It was 6:30 in the morning in Tokoroa, which means I'm a hero. Because in Tokoroa, it's permafrost most of the year down there. Hallelujah. You crack open the ice to get into the church. But I started these prayer meetings every morning. But you know what the key to the whole thing was? Was as I drove up the road the first morning at 6:30 in the morning, driving down the road, a little Christian who at that stage couldn't pray more than about 5 minutes, who had experienced prayer meetings in church that were absolute hell. He tried to stay there for an hour and he couldn't understand why anybody would do this. It seemed like there was more demons manifesting in the prayer meeting than there was outside. Who would want to pray? But as I drove down the drive, I learnt the key, you see, I learnt. I made a choice. I took my will and I said, not my will but thy will, Father. I choose to love prayer. I choose to love the Word of God. Choose to love fellowship. And the moment that you start speaking that out of your mouth, that choice moves your heart in line with the will of God. If you're waiting till it's going to happen and be exciting, you're going to miss out on most of your journey and most of your power, because most of the power is going to be found in that hard place. It's going to be found in that place where there isn't an excitement. If you're going to go and plant churches, I'll tell you what, hallelujah! Anybody that's planted a church knows there's not multitudes of people saying, go for it, brother! Most of them saying, you can't! You're a rebel! You know, we don't need any more churches in town. 90% of the town's not saved, but they tell me they're doing the job on their own. I tell you, it takes a bit of radical faith. As you begin to speak it out your mouth, it opens heavens over your life. Amen. I tell you this, I teach people this at work. because I said, I get under houses now and I'm doing the sky work in order to be able to speak to people on the... I get under the floor in order to speak to the people on top of the floor. But when I'm under the floor and I'm groveling in the dirt and the cat poo and all the other bits that are under there, there are times when I want to go, oh, stuff it. I left a 1,500-acre dairy farm, 700 cows, a prosperous business in order to serve the Lord, and I'm under the house, I'm groveling in the crap, I'm working my tail off, I'm 56, I could be retired, I could have it all my own way. And right then I get a choice, and I choose to harness my will, and I say, Jesus, I choose to love my job. Jesus, I choose to thank you for my health. I thank you for this opportunity to minister to people. And if I've got to crawl through some cat muck to get to talk to somebody on the top floor, I'll do that. I've got people that'll tell you that I was praying on their roof that are now in church, saved, people healed, miracles happen, just because I bothered to go about God's business. But you see, everybody wants the glory. Everybody wants the glamour. Or everybody wants to be limelighted. I could care less. I don't want to do this. I see more fruit in my outside world. I don't need to do this, but I do want to encourage you guys. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking to be somebody that's loved by the world. I'm wanting to be loved by one. Amen? And out of that love for him, I now want to love others. Just 2 days ago, I was in a house, and there was a woman, and she had a girl about 13, and she's spina bifida girl, and she's really struggling with life. She could tell that. And I went down, I was installing the sky, and I started sharing about Jesus, and she said, oh, stuff it, she says, I must have done something horrendously wrong. Look at my daughter. I said, no, honey, God loves you so much. And I started sharing about the love of God and about the fact that that's why Jesus came, to rescue us, because it's the evil that we've made, given place to in our choices. I said, God can't be a just judge and give you free will and not enclose these things down. This is part of life. But I said, God loves you. Now, this woman changed from being hard and bitter. I opened up my iPhone and I took out the testimony of my son-in-law, who just died at 24 only a few months ago. And I played it then. She sat there for the next 20 minutes listening to his testimony. It was awesome, Diane. Just listening to this. And see, I just sitting there, and this lady's just weeping at the end. And she didn't come to Christ, but she was opened. It changed the whole circumstance from her not thinking God loved her to all of a sudden understanding there is a battle, there is a spiritual dimension. I shared about deliverance. I shared about miracles I'd seen happening. She's going, wow, wow. You see, the world out there is actually looking for the miraculous. I share with everybody, and I don't worry about the results. I'm not trying to get notches on my belt. How many people did I get saved? Salvation's not a me. Just because you get somebody to pray a little prayer, you ain't won nobody to Christ. Unless the Holy Spirit's born something inside of them, unless they're born again, there's nothing in that. I don't shout abroad that I've done anything. All I tell them is I lead them to the opportunity to be able to pray. I always do this. First of all, I walk into the house or walk into whatever circumstance, and I look around for a key, something that can ignite the opportunity for me to talk about Jesus. And it's easy. It's easy, but I want to give you another practical key here. When you find the key, don't be surprised that they're going to love you for it when you tell them about it. Walked into another house over here in Hamilton just a little while ago, and I was met at the door by this older lady, and she was a tall lady, and she was dressed really hard and looked really hard. And she said, oh, come in the door. Yeah, you've got to do the sky. Come on, quickly, come in here. And so I'm walking in, and her mother's sitting on the couch in front of me, and she's bent over and haggled up. And as I walk around the corner, I see a Good News Bible on the table. I'm thinking, oh, praise God. I said, you're a Christian. She immediately says, oh, I'm not one of them effing things. So I thought, praise God. So, of course, most people at that stage, what would you do? Back off. Not me. Hallelujah. I say, oh, praise God, but I am. And I start sharing my story. Next minute, she bursts into tears. Howls her eyes out. Cry, I'm sorry. I know there's a God. She said, there was a time when I was really desperately sick, and I asked the man upstairs to heal me, and he healed me. I know there's a God. Led her to the Lord. Prayed for a mother who had pleurisy. The next thing, she's up and dancing around. Hallelujah. You see, you don't want to be stopped by their no, because there's a demonic realm that's trying to say no. Amen. Once upon a time, I'd been ministering, and I was between church and not sure where I was going next. And I got given this vet student to talk to as part of my work on a farm. And I was talking. He was a Catholic, true and true, through and through Catholic, sharing with this guy all the things about Jesus. And he was telling me all about all the science and how they now knew that homosexuality was in the genes. And he was arguing, and I was arguing, and we were arguing, and we were going backwards and forwards. And I was praying in tongues when he wasn't looking, and I was crying out to God. And it looked like nothing was happening. And that weekend, I had to go and milk the cows with him for another hour and a half. Does anybody milk cows here? For another hour and a half. We're wrestling away, and I'm sharing with all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding I've got, and all the love and the power I've got. And you know, he wasn't affecting him one little bit. And I turned around in the middle of the shed, burst into tears, and said, God, this is your work. I can't save anybody. God, you're going to have to do something. And then I walked up to the end of the pit, and it was the end of the milking. And this guy was standing at the gate, and I just pointed my finger at him and said, "Son, God sees every secret thing you do in, everything you do in your bedroom." Well, he hit the cow poo right on his knee, cried for a quarter of an hour, got filled with the Holy Spirit, changed his life. Hallelujah. A no doesn't mean you can't win it, just you have to press through, amen? I mean, these things excite me. Don't they excite you? Come on. You've got to learn how to stir up the gift. You see, it's not going to kind of fall on you. The Holy Spirit's in you. We're not waiting for the presence to come. The Bible says there's an anointing that abides within us. Amen? You've got to stir it up. You've got to release faith. You've got to stir yourself to speak. If you don't speak, nothing will conceive. If you expect to have children, you've got to go to bed with your wife. Hallelujah. Come on, anybody give me a hand raise. Because if somebody doesn't know that, we're going to pray for you after the service. Hallelujah. Conception happens when the word of God is sown into a heart by somebody speaking the word. Amen. So when you choose to open your mouth and give the little bit you've got, God will come on the back of that word and do unusual miracles. See, people walk in, I look for anything. I don't care what the thing is. I believe my God's able to fix it. Amen. One girl came in once. We'd led her to the Lord, but she was wrestling with her husband who didn't want to believe, and he brought all this Jehovah's Witness stuff into the house to try and fight against my Christian faith. And she comes into the house this particular day. She says, "Jeff, she's got all this itching. I've got lice in my hair. I don't know what to do." And I said, "I do. What do you know how to do?" She said. I said, "In Deuteronomy 28, it says the itch and the scab and the lice, they come from the devil. So it's simple." I said, "Can I lay hands on your head? You can do whatever you like. In the name of Jesus, die." Hallelujah. "Oh," she said, "oh, that, it's gone down my back." I said, "Because it's under lice. Get off in the name of Jesus." Well, it went. 3 weeks later, she got married. And they found the dead lice in her hair. And I want to say to you, there's nothing impossible with God, amen? All you've got to do is dig deep. The God that we serve wants to do unusual miracles. I was rejoicing. How many other pastors have I heard of that kill lice by rebuking them in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Lice die. Hallelujah. Sickness moves. Hallelujah. Mountains moves. Jobs come. When I came to Hamilton, that man over there is the reason I'm in Hamilton. He prayed me in. I did a conference for Full Gospel Businessmen. He got all fired up and said he wanted me to be his neighbor. And he lives in that rich area where the millionaires are. And I'd left my farms a long time before, so I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to get over there. He asked me to come and look at a property in Tamahiri. Looked at the property. It was way out of our range. Thought, man, this is way out of our range. It would have been once I could have afforded it, but no more. Looked at the property. Told my kids, "Listen, guys, we just can't afford this." Went back home that night. Went into the garage to pray, and a young man came over, and we were praying together. And God gave me this open vision of this house that I just looked at this morning. Had a massive room on the side for ministry. There I was with my hands up in this vision, praising God. And I thought, "Whoa, this must be you, Lord." So I told my wife. She still had the power of attorney because I'd spent a year in Canada. I said, "Go around and make him a silly offer in the morning." So she went around and made the guy a silly offer. We got 3.5 acres and a 300 square meter house. Come on, isn't God good? Come on, God rewards. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When I wanted a job for Hamilton here, because people say I haven't got a job, I knew that there's nothing impossible to my God, but the weapons of our warfare are not what? They're not carnal, but mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. When the atmosphere is telling me I can't, my God's saying I can, hallelujah. But in the middle of this, I'd shared with my neighbor, and I'd been sharing Jesus with him about 3 months earlier, and he said, "You'll never get me to church, buddy. I'll never have anything to do with that stuff. My dad's sort of got some family that are Christians." He said, "You'll never get me there." I said, "Well, buddy," I actually cried because I could see the call of God all over his life. But he just walked away, and I hadn't seen him in 3 months. But see, I wanted a job. But God, sometimes, he just wants to so much bless you. He wants to shower you with blessings. So I'm pressing, and I don't know where I'm going, God. I don't know where my next maybe is going to take me. But today I'm going to fast, and I needed to fast because I know fasting breaks things. So I decided, I'd never done this before, and I was going to fast without food and water for 3 days. And I thought, we'll see what happens now. Well, I tell you, all hell broke loose. Demons come in my room, all sorts of stuff. I hit some different level in the spirit that I'd ever hit before. My water pumps blew up. My water tank blew up. I still don't understand. All I believe is I hit a principality without even going against it, just by the fact that without water and food, I attacked something in the spiritual realm. But the day after I come off the fast, my neighbor, who hadn't spoken to me in 3 months, stops me on the drive. And he says, "I need to speak to you, Jeff." I said, "Oh, great, that's cool. What about?" He says, "I'm going to man's camp." "Man's camp, what's man's camp?" "Oh, we tell each other the truth and it sets us free." I said, "Cool, that's good, buddy, but there's two arms to the cross." I said, "You're getting yourself right with man, but you've got no relationship with God." "Oh," he said, "that's never heard that before." I said, "Listen, brother, how about I pray for you?" Well, I could feel the power. I'd just come off 3 days of fasting. I could feel fire going through me. So I thought, he told me never to let him, not to pray for him. But I know what I'll do. I can bless him because the Pope gets away with that. So I said, can I bless you, brother? And he said, yeah, you can bless me. So I laid my hands on him, prayed. I felt the fire of God go, touched him. Well, he came back on Monday morning. Came back. He couldn't shut up. He couldn't stop asking me questions. And Stan will testify, hey, buddy. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, powerfully saved. Didn't have to lead him to a whole lot of follow-up. He was just gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the river, changed man. Nothing is impossible to our God, amen. I don't care what you're facing right now. Hallelujah. The stories go on because our God's a God of stories. He's trying to let you look at that problem you're having, and he's trying to get you to realize that in perspective, it's nothing to the living God, hallelujah, who lives within you. And if you'll stir that gift up, get up in the morning and start claiming your destiny. I am a child of God. I'm blood washed. I have a covenant with the living God. All power and authority has been given me over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm me. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. No tongue fashioned against me, no raised up against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. With God before me, who can be against me? Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I am anointed. Come on. Are you anointed? I know I am. Hallelujah. You need to know it. You've got to challenge everything that's saying you're not. You've got to challenge every boundary, every thought, every atmosphere over your house that's saying you can't. Because God says, if I be for you, who can be against you? I justified you with my blood. I sanctified you with my blood. My blood's speaking great things over your life today. Destiny's in this house. Pick it up, son and daughter. Pick it up. Run the race. Run the race. Run the race. Run the race. Fill your mouth with the word of God. And let me bring the miracles, says God. Don't you worry about the results. You start turning the powerhouse on. Give place to God. Amen. Unusual miracles, unusual miracles, unusual miracles. I prophesied over these guys in the name of Jesus. Son and daughter, you're living below your destiny. The inheritance God has for you is to be a king and a priest, to rule and reign above, amen, and not beneath. Too long have you bowed to timidity. Too long have you allowed the enemy to strangle your voice. If you want to talk, start practicing speaking. Ask God to make you a communicator and take every opportunity you can to speak, and God will grow that gift and he will open favor on your life. I know when I reach out to speak to people, I don't believe it's because I say it all good. I study apologetics. I could teach you a whole lot about all the different faiths. Never seen anybody run to Christ that way. What I see is, the moment the anointing flows, the moment the Spirit of God starts moving, people get healed. But you've got to fight because the enemy's trying to pour water on that anointing. He's trying to pour water on your faith. He's trying to say you can't. He's trying to get you tangled up with problems in your marriage instead of concentrating on the King of Kings. He gave me my wife. He gave me my marriage back. Not because I prayed and I did good things for my wife. It's because I put my wife on the altar. I laid my marriage down and thought I'd lost it. And I sought first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Amen. And out of that, he gave me back my marriage. He gave me my children. He brought heaven to earth. Because every promise of God is found in Matthew 6:33. Seeks first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. His kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. So if you're here today, I'm challenging. In fact, I'm charging you like Paul charged Timothy. Hallelujah. Preach the word in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, hallelujah. Teach with all long suffering that men might be saved. You're never going to be a preacher if you don't open your mouth. You're never going to bring children to birth unless you get close and intimate with people. You're going to have to say, God, use me. You can write a few lines. You can write a little tract. Just tell a little bit about how God's changed your life. You can just simply as that. Jesus changed my life. Give it to people. I'll tell you what, God will use it. God will take you at the point of your faith and he will measure back to you 100-fold more than you've given to him. The biggest gift I can give you that God's given me is choose to love every single person you meet. If you don't choose to love, then you're like a clanging gong. Before I knew any of the power of God, I knew that I had such an insatiable love. My wife will tell you, I gathered everybody in the district that I could get my arms on and try to bring them home. Tried to hug them to death, pray them to death, love them to death, feed them, clothe them. And that was just the way I still am. If you know my life, all I'll do the same thing today. Because I know before often they'll hear my voice. They'll need to see the love. Amen. And I'm saying to you today, this is the truth. This is the simple gospel. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And then allow the Holy Spirit place to rule in your life. Get up in the morning. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Speak the word over your life. Fill that tank up. Boom, 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 boom. Come on. Word guys get excited about the V8. tell you what, most Christians, they come into a conference like this, get all tagged up and they sit outside until they run out of petrol, and then they limp back to their homes feeling defeated. Done that for me. But Jesus said, get tagged up, hallelujah. Why did you pull the thing out of the tank anyway? You're supposed to be connected with Jesus all the time. As you're walking down the street, it's easy. Hallelujah! The city belongs to me. Jesus has given me the land. Every place I put my feet belongs to me in Jesus' name. I have inheritance. I have jobs. I have promotion. Deuteronomy 28 says the blessings of God will just creep up to you and you'll just get enough and you'll just survive and you'll be a poor, miserable so-and-so for the rest of your life. What a load of rubbish! He says the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. They'll chase you down. You'll be running so hard to get away from them. My experience is that happens. Happens in my job. Wherever I go, the favor of God chases me down. Has Jeff got anything special? No. Yes. He's learned how to keep connected to Jesus. He's learned that I'm nobody, but he's everything. And that if I get past worrying about what everybody else thinks about me and just operate in the person I am in Christ. And that's if you all learn that too. You don't have to be me, because you wouldn't want to be me. but if you learn to operate in you, just in the love of God, every time I see a headache, oh, praise God, I'm into it. Because headaches just go like that. Hallelujah. Broken fingers go like that. I mean, you just got to be looking for every opportunity and reach out and just touch. You see, that's what it says in Acts 4, was it, 38? That's nothing new we're facing today. You know, the enemy's resisting us. The world out there is saying they don't want the message. But in Acts 4, it said the disciples were struggling with the same thing. And all they says was, Lord, look on their threats. Look at their accusations. Look on the attacks that are coming against us. And grant to us that with all boldness we might preach your word. And you'd think, oh, there you go. See, I'm not quite ready to preach again. But he says this, that we might preach your word by, say this with me, by reaching out your hand to heal the sick. This is how the gospel's preached. The kingdom of heaven comes near when you take dominion over sickness, disease, condemnation, shame, guilt, when you begin to counsel and love and the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell you what, you don't need to take them through a doctrinal argument about sociology, whatever it is, some of those big words they use in Bible college. All you've got to know is that in the midst of that, Jesus will touch their life. They bring young drug dealers into my place, start praying for them, they manifest demons, you cast them out, you haven't got any problem about them following you because they know something left when you told them to go in Jesus' name. You know, demons will go when you tell them to go. Amen. I think my brother's about to tell me to be quiet. Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord, I wanted to add some practical something here today. And Father, I'm just going to ask as we come to a close that, Lord God, you will take the seed that I've sown in the Spirit. And Lord, you will water it with faith. Lord, add to this word, Lord God, an anointing and enabling, Father God, Lord, to lay a hold of their destinies in Jesus' name. Lord, there's nobody in this room that's disqualified. Everybody in this room is qualified by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's any sin, it's as easy as if we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I want to encourage you. There's nobody in this room that can say they're not able. Because when you say you're not able, you're denying the God who created you. You're denying the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. He said the harvest's white. The world is ripe for harvest. All you've got to say is, use me, Lord. Amen. Use me, Lord. So I'm going to ask you now, with your eyes shut, so you don't have to be scared about lifting your own hand. Thank you, Jesus. If you acknowledge that the Holy Spirit's in you, and you want to say yes to Jesus afresh today, I just want to, in an act of faith before heaven and earth, I want you to just lift your hand now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, you see these hands, Father. You see these hands, Lord God, and you know every struggle, you know every area of weakness. But Father God, I know that you'll meet them at their point of need. You'll meet them at their weakest moment. And Father God, turn their weakest moment into a miracle, Father God, of breakthrough. Lord, I speak breakthrough over this group today. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost boldness in the name of Jesus. We rebuke every spirit of fear and timidity that's over them. We cancel and break that assignment of the enemy. Father, I pray that they would come to understand that the righteous are as bold as lions in Jesus' name. Loose the anointing. Loose the anointing. Loose the anointing. Loose your presence here today, Father. And in closing, I just want us to all get up. And I'm going to ask us to pray for one another. And you're going to pray according to the way you feel led. But just pray for your brother, your sister, whoever's next to you. Pray that God will cause his destiny to come to pass in their life. Amen? Is that okay? Does that sound safe? So you're going to reach out to the person next to you. You're going to pray that God's destiny, God's richest anointing will flow through those lives. And wherever they are now, there'll be a new release of the anointing on their life. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.